Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and a program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings are from the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's go to our checklist number one. Do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions at this time? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 1 to 2 and 17 to 18. And here it is. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, 'Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in his heart. Though you may have to reprove your fellow citizen, do not incur sin because of him. Take no refuge and cherish no grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Leviticus this morning, my friends, Jesus tells Moses directly to speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them to be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So how is it that we live a holy life? This is our calling. The Lord wants us to follow his lead and to be holy as he is. And so if we look to Jesus, what are the attributes of Jesus himself? Is he kind, considerate, patient? Is he loving? Whatever Jesus is what we want to adopt, embrace as the attributes to really develop our own character. And we look to the Lord for guidance and direction in this because he tells Moses to speak to the entire Israelite community and tell them to be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. So we have work to do, my friends. We have work to do in becoming more holy as we go through life, because we are human beings and we are imperfect. We can be impatient, sometimes unkind. We can be without compassion. We can have no humility at times, and a tall ego. Some of the things that get in the way of holiness are the 12 that we mention all the time, starting out with jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. So we have work to do, my friends, to take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he all about? How did he live his life? And when you think about the Lord, what are the attributes that stand out in your mind that makes him the Lord Jesus Christ for you, our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the breath of life, the Word of God. He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we look to the Lord for guidance on this and how to become more holy. And one of the things I think we can do is to be truly open-minded to the Lord's Word, because within the Word of God, we will find the answer to how to become more holy indeed. The Lord's Word says, you shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. And I remember working on death row with a man who was convicted of 4 homicides, who had taken the life of his brother and 3 other people. And I just tell you that because that's the extreme example of what can happen when we bear hatred for our brother or sister. So we have to have humility to forgive. And God's word says, take no revenge and to cherish no grudge against any of your people. Many years ago, I'm working at the House of Corrections in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. We had a group of 30 men and we were planning our reentry plan. And basically, we had a man there who was planning to take revenge against his entire family who had put him in jail. And so we created a scenario where he was going to be released and then was going to take revenge on every family member who had a part in putting him back in prison. And the consequences were very great. As we created that vision in his mind of him getting revenge, but then getting incarcerated for life because he took the life of all of his family members, there was nowhere to go for him. And we were able to help him to see the future the way God sees it, in the eyes of God. And so we changed his plan to include a lot of humility and forgiveness. And with that, he was able to get rid of the spirit of bitterness and forgave his family members who put him in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. Many years ago, I had a friend whose father had 4 brothers. And when they were younger, several of the brothers had a disagreement. And for more than 30 years, these brothers never spent any time with each other. They never forgave each other for whatever the disagreement was, the argument was. And at the funerals of each of the brothers, the nieces and nephews met each other for the first time. And they said, why didn't we know each other for all these years? What was it that kept our fathers apart? What was the issue? What was the argument? No one knew. But 30 years had gone by, right to the death of each of the parents, the 5 brothers. And the end result was the family was truly separated because of anger, pride, and territorialism. And I just tell you, that lack of humility amongst the brothers created that separation, that disunity within the family. And so there's always room to be humble enough to apologize and to offer forgiveness, to accept an apology or to offer forgiveness, to offer an apology. God calls us to do it. Otherwise, we live with the spirit of bitterness. We had a woman in our prayer group many years ago who was upset with her sister for more than 20 years. And one Christmas, she was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pick up the phone to make a call. And she didn't do it. And that prompting from the Holy Spirit continued throughout Christmas week. Finally, she picked up the phone, called her sister after 20 years. and she had held a grudge, truly, for more than 20 years. And she had a conversation that went okay. It wasn't great, but went okay. And do you know, within 2 weeks after that conversation, her sister died. She passed away. And this woman realized that God gave her an opportunity to make amends, to forgive her sister, and to make things right, which is our calling. And God prompted her multiple times until she picked up the phone and made the call to her sister. And it was pride that prevented her for more than 20 years from picking up that phone and making that call. So if you're out there, my friends, and you too are holding a grudge or planning revenge, God calls you once again to not bear any hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. You must do that before you bring your gift to the altar to God. Let's go to our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 23. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool, so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. For it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you, Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or the life or death, or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, the word tells us that we are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we have to be careful because of that. There is not any word or action that God doesn't know about. He knows what we're thinking before we even ask for something. But we have to be careful. And today, my friends, we have an abundance of abuse to the body itself with the drug war out there. People are addicted to all kinds of drugs as well as alcohol. And the body is being abused and neglected. God calls us once again to be careful. And he asks us the question, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in us? So we have to be cognizant of the fact that we are given one body and God wants us to take care of it physically, mentally, and spiritually. And God tells us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. And so there are many decisions that are made based on the wisdom of people. And very often those people have a second agenda that is opposite to God's will for the world. That agenda may be part of the Antichrist, if you will, the atheists, the agnostics, the LGBTQ, as defined by that liberal entity out there. But God calls us, my friends, to rely on the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of the world, which he refers to as foolishness in the eyes of God. And so St. Paul, the great persecutor of the church, converted by the Lord himself, he tells us that the wisdom of this world, okay, and that includes the people in it, in authoritative positions, is foolishness in the eyes of God, who has great wisdom. And the book of Psalms tells us that the first step to wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Well, when we have people out there, entities out there, governments out there, who ignore the word of God, who ignore the wisdom of God, you know, we're dealing with people who are making decisions that are opposed to the ways of God. And this is important, my friends. We are called to a higher standard. We are called to step up, to speak up for the things that are important in the eyes of God, the morals, the family values, the ethics, and the principles to live by that God has given us in the Word of God. And as we proceed in daily life, week in and week out, there are numerous examples of laws that have been made that are opposed to the ways of God. And that's the wisdom of this world that may be responsible for, you know, millions and billions of people. But the wisdom of the world has made decision based on pride, prejudice, jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. Laws have been made because of different reasons, but is it right in the eyes of God? In our show here, we want to identify this to you, that all decisions that are made should be rooted in the Word of God. Is it good for God? Yes or no? Is it good for families? Yes or no? Is it good for humanity? Yes or no? And this is what we have to utilize to make great decisions. We rely and utilize the Word of God itself. And to use an aviation analogy in our program Clear for Takeoff, in training pilots, one of the things we have to do is make great decisions as pilots, as captains. One bad decision could kill as many as 583 people, which took place many years ago, when the collision of two 747s took place in the Canary Islands. A Pan Am and KLM 747 killed 583 people. And I share that with you because it was the decision for a pilot to take off without a takeoff clearance. So in training pilots, when you have a decision to make, number one, is it within the law? Number two, is it life-threatening, which is beyond the law? And you always want to be, you know, within the law and never putting your life on the line for anyone. And this is important because we don't want to lose our licenses to fly. So I just lay that out for you, my friends, because the Lord tells us about the wisdom of the world, and it is described as foolishness in the eyes of God. And we have to respect that, because who is it coming from? It's coming from St. Paul, who was converted by the Lord Jesus Christ and who wrote 13 books of the Bible. We need to respect St. Paul's, you know, a word which has been given to him truly through the Holy Spirit. And this is, again, a time in our nation's history where we really need to incorporate the Word of God as the source for all great decisions for our human beings, for life, for family life, for our nation. So for God, family, country, we need to rely on the Word of God as the source of all great decisions. This, my friends, is important. Let's go to our gospel reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. And here it is. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes the sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew today, the Lord tells us to offer no resistance to one who is evil. He tells us to give to the one who asks of you, and don't turn your back on those who want to borrow. He tells us to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Once again, we see that God's standards are higher than ours. Difficult to achieve, hard to do, difficult to live by, but nevertheless, with a closer and closer relationship with God, we have the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to do some things that maybe we never did before. Let's take a look. When you are greeted by someone who is evil, the Lord tells us, offer no resistance. And so it's an opportunity to educate, to motivate, to inspire that person with a loving touch. It's an opportunity to help them to see life through the eyes of God. It's a chance for you and I, my friends, to bring a soul to Christ. So he tells us, offer no resistance to the one who is evil. And, you know, in teaching confirmation class, we talk about very often, what will you say, what will your response be to a person who disagrees with you on a moral issue or a ethical issue where in the eyes of God we're told to do it a certain way, but they are opposed to God's way of doing it? What will you say? What will you do? Will you offer resistance? Will you offer verbal resistance, physical resistance? How will you handle this? Once again, the Lord tells us to offer no resistance to the one who is evil. So the answer is to do exactly what God tells us to do, to love one another, and to truly be a role model in the second greatest commandment, the golden rule, to treat others as you would like to be treated. but to educate, to motivate, to inspire with great zeal, passion, and enthusiasm to help people to see life through the eyes of God. And it's not easy. It isn't easy to do that as a parent with your children. They will often go the opposite way that you tell them. It's not easy to do that in government, as we see in U.S. Congress, people lobbying for certain things that are moral issues, unable to achieve success, like the overturning of the case of Roe v. Wade, which took almost 50 years to get done. Can you imagine how many people lobbied for the life of the unborn child? How many people lobby for true marriage between a man and a woman? And there are so many other issues that people have lobbied for decades. And so the work continues. God says to give to the one who asks of you, and don't turn your back on those who want to borrow. So he says to give to the one who asks of you. So are we doing that, my friends? It's what God tells us to do. We do what we can. But he says to not turn our backs on those who want to borrow. So very often, I've got what I need. It doesn't matter to me what you need. And that's the rub right there. God tells us to be open to not turning our backs on other people who want to borrow, and to give to those whenever we can, whenever they ask, to do what we can, my friends. Remember, the stronger you are, the more you can do with your time, your treasure, and your talent for other people and for the community. God calls us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Once again, hard to do, but yet this is the calling. To make amends for those people in the past. And I've seen it done where people have gone back to places like Vietnam, where we had the Vietnam War, and they were able to make amends and to get rid of those hostile feelings. And my brother was killed in 1967 in Vietnam. My stepbrother, Kenneth Montone, was buried in Arlington Cemetery. But people have gone back to make amends, to get rid of those bitter feelings, and to really, you know, put them away. Because in the eyes of God, God calls us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. He has a higher standard. I challenge you today to raise your standard to the standard that God is calling us to live up to. That's our call for today. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.